Following is a synopsis of the Sichas, the talks of the Rebbe, of the Shabbos, in which we read Tazria and Mitzora. That was the sixth day of Iyar, the year He Tinase, corresponding to the year 1991. It was explained in previous talks, the Rebbe says, that every individual has to do everything in his power in order to bring the Geula, the redemption, in actuality, and that it should be taken from Miyad Mamish, imminently, immediately. Now that we're right after the month of Nisan of this year, so it's certain and it would be universally accepted that Mashiach has to come immediately, and that we will be able to say, using the past tense, that Mashiach has already come. Now, how do we accomplish this? So now the Rebbe says we're going to consider and discuss how to accomplish this and how all this is hinted in this Shabbos. In the Parsha of the week that we read in the Shabbos morning, and also the Parsha that we read to Mincha. Also the Pirkei Avos, the Ethics of the Fathers that we read on Shabbos, and also the date, the month of Iyar, as well as the counting of the Omer that we counted on the Shabbos. All of these different features of the time that we're in have to connect us to the process of bringing about the redemption immediately. In our Parsha, which is Tazria and Mitzora, we see the redemption very clearly. Parshas Tazria begins with the words, Isha ki Tazria v'yolda zachar, if a woman conceives and gives birth to a male. The whole idea of birth is an expression of redemption. As it says in the prophetic predictions of the redemption, Yolda Tzion es b'neha, Zion will give birth to her children. So the idea of birth is connected to the redemption. When we talk about the birth of a male child, that represents a strong manifestation of redemption, one that is everlasting. There's no other Golos, no other exile that will follow it. And it also represents the coming in Mashiach on a very high level, coming from the world of masculinity in the language of Kabbalah, Alma D'Dechura. Now, in essence, the whole verse is talking about redemption, not just the opening words. Ishi Kisazria, when the Torah says a woman who conceives, that symbolizes the Jewish people who are considered to be the wife of the Holy One, blessed is He. And this is talking about the time of exile, because that's when the time is for sowing, Sazria, sowing and planting, planting the Torah and mitzvahs and observing them. But you don't see the growth. You don't see what the results of that planting is. As a result of the planting, that we'll see only in the time of redemption. She will give birth to a male. That refers to the results of our sowing and planting now in the times of Golos. Also, the Parsha of Mitzora has a direct connection to Geula, because the Gemara writes that the name of Mashiach is Mitzora Shel Beis Rebbe. The Mitzora, the leper, although Tzaras is not leprosy, it's a skin disease, but they use the term leper, of the house of Rebbe. And also, when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asked Eliyahu HaNavi, where is Mashiach? Where can I find him? Eliyahu responded that Mashiach is a Mitzora, and he is sitting amongst the Mitzoraim, the lepers who are suffering from many different illnesses. Mashiach is called Mitzora. What is the reason for that? Because he exists in Golos. In other words, the Rebbe is saying Mashiach doesn't just appear and the Geula appears together with him. Mashiach is in Golos first, and he suffers the pain and the anguish of Golos, of exile. But Parsha Mitzora talks about the day that he becomes purified. The Mashiach, who was likened to the Mitzora, his purification means that's the stage in which he already begins to be revealed, and he redeems the Jewish people with a true and complete redemption. But things are still in need of clarification, the Rebbe says. And he gives four questions here. Number one, Tazria symbolizes the planting and the birth of the redemption, whereas Mitzora, the word Mitzora, indicates the idea of Golus, before the purification. So how do we combine the two parshas, Tazria and Mitzora, when Tazria symbolizes and the birth symbolizes the redemption, and Mitzora symbolizes the Golus? Number two, the main question here is, after we already have Tazria, we already are talking about that there's the birth as a result of the sowing, of the planting. That means they have the eternal redemption, after which there is no exile. Then how do we get to the next parsha, Mitzora, which goes back to Golus, goes back to exile? Number three, if you look at the parsha of Tazria, which indicates and symbolizes Geula, what does the whole parsha talk about? All the laws of Tzaras, of this of skin affliction. Conversely, in the parsha of Mitzora, which symbolizes, the word Mitzora symbolizes Golus, what does it talk about? His purification, the redemption from Golus. Wouldn't it be more appropriate that the parsha that talks about the affliction itself would be called Mitzora, and the parsha that talks about the purification, symbolizing the redemption, would be called Tazria? Number four, why is it that Mashiach, the Redeemer of the Jewish people, is called Mitzora, which is a symbol of Golus and illness? Why would he, in particular, since he's the one who takes us out of Golus, be termed a Mitzora? So the Rebbe says, in order to understand this, we first have to preface what is the whole idea of Negoyim, of Mitzaras. Chassidus explains, when a person has Tzaras, that's a sign that he is actually a very ideal person. Everything he does is perfected, and all of his soul's faculties are complete, lacking nothing. However, there's one little lack, one little area in which he has not achieved perfection, that he has not corrected. And that manifests itself on the surface of one's skin. Why is it on the surface? Because that indicates that everything that's within the person, all of his soul's faculties, has expunged any trace of negativity. And only on the surface, on the periphery, can we find a little bit of imperfection and a little bit of negativity. Moreover, the Torah, when it speaks about Tzaras, prefaces it with the words, Adam ki yeha ba'ar basar, a person who will have in the skin of his flesh, and it uses the term ki yeha, which tells us that this is a mikra, it just happened to be. It's not something that is natural or something that is common for this person. And it's not even connected to the person's flesh. It's only the skin that surrounds the flesh. And that is a nega. Nega comes from the word noge. It touches. It merely touches it. But it's not really something that's part of his externality either. It just happens to touch it. It touches it. It's not a thing that happens routinely. It's just happened to happen. And it's not even connected to the person's flesh. So Chassidus explains that even before the Kohen decides and determines that these signs, the skin disorder, is a sign of impurity, these negaim are actually representative of very, very high and exalted levels, supernal lights. And the language of Kabbalah and Chassidus, they're called Dina Kashya de Kedusha, the harsh judgment within the realm of holiness. Now, one could give two explanations. One could say that the two explanations that we just mentioned, that Tzaras is an imperfection, but a very minor, very minimal one, and that it represents the highest spiritual energies, are actually connected to one another. Since Negoyim represent very lofty spiritual energies, that's what they are in essence, that's why when, for whatever cause, they descend from their lofty perch and they become subject to the negative forces, even so, the negativity that is created is only external, is only on the periphery. And therefore, in order to correct this, you don't need anything additional to come in to remove this negativity. You just have to reveal what its true essence is, that they are truly inherently spiritual energy in a very high level. That's why when it talks about the purification of the Metzora, the Torah says, Zeis tia teras ha-metzora b'yayim taharasei. This shall be the laws of the Metzora on the day of his purification. The emphasis on the word day here is, because in order to purify the Metzora, all you have to do is to shed light. That's what the word day symbolizes, shedding light and revealing what their true essence is. And that itself will purify the Metzora and dispel the trace of negativity that remains with the Metzora. In other words, you don't have to come from the outside to change the status of the Metzora. All you have to do is reveal his true essence in its source. Now, the ability that the external forces of negativity have to get life from these very high, sublime spiritual energies of Negayim, where do they get the power to do this, to absorb that energy? It comes from the fact that because these high spiritual energies are so exalted, are so high, they can't come down into this world in the vessels that are routine vessels in this world. So they break the vessels, and as a result, they give room and rise to external forces of evil, of negativity, to get some of the light and some of the energy. If we put this in practical terms, this is what would be said. These supernal lights, these high spiritual levels of light, create a sense of rutzo, of advancing forward, trying to go higher. The soul wants to leave this physical world and be absorbed in the light of God. That's all the soul wants. And from this desire itself, that can cause negative forces, because we see that when a person is full of fire in his davening, full of passion, and he finishes davening, so his passion is no longer directed to the Almighty, the person could then become filled with anger, God forbid, on someone who isn't religious enough, someone who doesn't behave properly. In other words, that passion could translate into something negative. How do you solve that problem? When you have this passion and you're no longer davening, you're no longer praying, directing it in the right direction, you need the movement of shov, of retreat, ruts of a shov, advance and retreat. This retreat entails complete bittul, self-nullification to the Almighty. Just like a slave, a servant is standing before a king, he's like an inanimate stone. And when a person has this humility, this nullification, that will cause the person to translate the passion in the study of Torah and the observance of mitzvahs and fulfilling the mission that he has in this world properly. As a result, this movement of retreat has the power to get these high, exalted, supernal lights to return and to become enclosed in vessels that could contain them. So how do we combine these two opposite gestures, these two opposite movements, Ratzai going out, advancing towards the Almighty, and Shuv retreating, coming back down into this world? You have to reveal something that's even higher than the two that can unify two opposites. That, in terms of the divine attributes, is the attribute of Tiferes. Tiferes literally means beauty, but it also means the ability to synthesize two opposite things, because the root of Tiferes is higher than the root of the two preceding attributes of Chesed, which is Ratzo, getting close, passion, and Gvura, which is retreat, withholding. So it's higher than those two, and that's why it can unify Chesed and Gvura. This, therefore, is the answer to the question how the Metzora could be purified. Torah HaMetzora, it says. This is the Torah of the Metzora. How do you correct the Metzora? It's through Torah. A person who is totally nullified, he says, as we say at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, V'nafshi ka'ofer l'kol tia, my soul is like dust for everyone. Right after that it says, and it means it's a result of one's humility, psach libi b'serasecha, open my heart with your Torah. That means if a person is humble and receptive, then he could be a vessel to the Torah, which is called Teferis. As it says in the Gemara, Teferis, when it talks about the beauty, the glory of Hashem, that refers to the giving of the Torah. And by virtue of Teferis, you could synthesize the high spiritual energy that it should become possible to be contained within the vessels down here in this world. The same thing the Rebbe says is true about Golus and Geula. The meaning of Golus is God's concealment. We don't see the miracles as we did in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. There's absolute darkness. And this is because, the Rebbe says, there's a very high level of spirituality, of divinity, exceedingly higher. But because they're so high, they're so lofty, they're elusive. They can't come into this world in a revealed way. And because they can't come in a revealed way, it creates a state of concealment and of darkness and golos. But since, in essence, the source of golos is very high spiritual light, the effect that it has on creating this type of negativity in this world is only externally. So how do you change golos, in which there's an external manifestation of negativity, by revealing that its true essence is geula, is redemption, that we're talking about very high spiritual energy, and through our efforts in serving Hashem in golos, we could reveal these supernal lights that cannot be revealed presently, that it should be revealed down here in this world. And this can be done specifically in golos, in exile, because exile is a time when you can see a greater manifestation of nullification and self-sacrifice in our service of God, because there's such concealment, so anything we do entails sacrifice. And through that sacrifice, we have the ability to reveal the supernal lights and manifest them down here in the vessels. Now we could understand very well the connection of Tazria and Mitzora, and the connection that they have to the content, not just the names of the parsha, but to their content. In the beginning, the Torah gives us a general introduction to the whole subject of Tzaras and its purification, which is going out of Golus into the state of redemption. And that is encapsulated in the first verse. Isha ki Tazria v'yolda Zachar, a woman who conceives and gives birth to a male. When a person is in Golus, that's Tazria, the sowing, you reach Geula, which we said before refers to the birth of a male. That is the general introduction, going from Golos to Geula. Then the Torah details the laws of Negoim, of Tzaras, which is Golos. But since it's in the Parsha of Tazria, which indicates Geula, it teaches you that Negoim is not a totally negative thing, it's only externally negative, because in essence it represents the highest spiritual energies that will be revealed down here in the time of redemption. That's the Parsha of Tazria. The Parsha of Metzora, which the word Metzora indicates Golos, talks about the purification, Geula, to teach you that the purification of Negoim, i.e. bringing the Geula, how does that happen? By revealing the true essence of the Negoim and of Golos, that they are supernal lights, very high spiritual energy, and only through that can we negate the possibility that this type of spiritual light could reach something that is negative. This thought that the purification of Negoim doesn't happen by some external factor, but by revealing their own virtue, their own quality, that is underscored in the fact that Mashiach himself is called a Metzora. Why? Because Mashiach, where is he situated? He's situated in a state of Golos, and he suffers from that Golos, and that's why he is called afflicted because of that. And he precisely can bring the true and complete redemption to the Jewish people. Also, the Parsha that we read from Mincha, Achrei Kedeshim, is connected to this thought. Parshas Achrei talks about the death of the two sons of Aaron. Why? Because they had such a passion, such a yearning to get closer to Hashem, and therefore their souls left their bodies. And then the Jewish people were commanded not to have that passion, that rutzo, that advance, if it just stays at that. The rutzo has to also come into this world the shove, the retreat into this world. It has to be souls within bodies and in a living way to the point where life will be eternal in the time of redemption. So how do we get the power to take the rutzo, the passion of the sons of Aaron, and to translate it into shove, into retreating into this world and living forever? The power for that is in the Parsha of Kedoshim. The difference between Achrei is addressed to the rabbis, the spiritual leaders. Kedoshim was given to every Jew. Every member of the Jewish people has the power to be sanctified with God's sanctification. And through that high level, which is higher than Ratzo and Shov, because Ratzo and Shov are both human expressions of personality. He wants to get closer, he wants to retreat. But when you are connected to God himself, which transcends those two movements, you can combine the two. All this, the Rebbe says, is also connected to Pirkei Avos, that we read the Shabbos. What does it begin with? The opening Mishnah of Pirkei Avos of chapter 2 begins, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe, the author of the Mishnah, says, Eizeh hiderech yishara sheyavolei ha'adam, what is a straightforward path that a person should choose? And the answer is, Kol shehi teferes le'iseha, everything that brings glory to the one who does it, but teferes lo min ha'adam, it brings glory from the other people. And the question is asked, number one, what is the meaning of the question that Rebbe asked? What is the straightforward path? It says, Yisharim Darchei Hashem, the ways of God, the mitzvahs are the straightforward path. So why is he asking, what is the straightforward path? Number two, why does he use the term, Sheyavalei Ha'adam, using the word Adam for person? The word Adam indicates a very high-level person. If we're asking about how to serve Hashem, we're talking to someone who's not a high level, who already knows the straightforward path. And number three, why is Rebbe saying this of all great sages? And the explanation is as follows. Rebbe, it says in the Talmud about him that he was worthy of being Mashiach because he was a complete chassid. He was a person who was completely devoted to serving Hashem on the highest level. And he finished his whole service. He did a complete service. And he also suffered much, the suffering from Golos. Just like Mashiach is perfect and suffers from Golos. Now this Adam, this ideal person about whom Rebbe speaks, someone who has already perfected everything that has to be perfected, there's just a little residual imperfection that he had not yet perfected, like Negoim, which shows up on the surface, as Rebbe himself. And after he has done all the things that he have to do in Golos, after we have accomplished all that we have to accomplish throughout that period of Golos, all of us are on the level of Rebbe, because the Jewish people as a whole have gone through the purification process through exile. So we're at that point where we got rid of all the negatives, and we only have a little residual imperfections. So the question that Rebbe asks after we finish everything, we've already accomplished all this perfection, what is the straightforward path, the simplest, the easiest path, most efficient path of all the different pathways within Torah that we should take in order to reveal the Mashiach? And the answer is through Torah. Torah is Teferis. As it says, Teferis zu Matan Torah. When it talks about the divine attribute of Teferis, it refers to Matan Torah, because Torah has the synthesis power to unify the supernal lights, the rotzo, the advance, the passion to go to the highest levels, to make that manifest down here within the vessels of this world. And when that happens through Torah, that will reveal that the Golos itself represents very high levels of spirituality, and therefore the darkness of Golos will be nullified, and there will be a Geula after which there will be no more Golos. Another reason why Torah specifically can bring Mashiach, it says Mashiach will be two things. He will be a king, and he will also be a Rav, a teacher. He will influence the world in a way of a king, of a leader, by giving commands, which they don't have to understand why and what. They just have to do what the king says. But he also influenced the world in the manner of a rabbi, a scholar, a teacher, in a way that people will understand and will absorb the words of the king. The fact that Mashiach is both a king and a teacher teaches us that these high spiritual levels that are associated with his kingship will descend and be absorbed in the vessels, and that will be through the power of Torah. All this we could see also expressed in the month of Iyar. Month of Iyar is the second month of the year. Second month symbolizes the elevation and the refinement of the Jewish people by counting of the Omer. After the first month, the month of Nisan, which godliness was revealed from above, and the miracles happened as a result of that godliness, and through those miracles God redeemed us from Egypt, the month of Iyar is the month that we start to refine ourselves from the bottom up. So the fact that these 2 months come one after the other hints to the fact that the highest revelations that were given from above in the month of Nisan are internalized and are revealed and internalized in vessels through the efforts that we do in the month of Iyar. Now, how do we combine these two things, the highest energy levels, spiritually speaking, of course, with the vessels? That was given on the second day of Iyar, in which we counted the sphere of Tiferes, Sheba Tiferes. That means the ultimate form of synthesis. And this power of Tiferes could unite the Ratzo, the advancement, the highlights in the vessels, the show of the retreat, and through that we bring the Geula. An additional point, Iyar is also said to be an acronym for Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Rachel. These are the three patriarchs to correspond to the three attributes of Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes. That parallels the Eiris, the spiritual light. Rachel symbolizes the attribute of Malchus, which represents the Kelum, the vessels. When you combine them together in the word Iyar, you unify the high exalted lights translated and enclosed within the vessels. Rachel symbolizes also what we do in the time of Golus, the efforts to bring the Geul, as it says, Rachel mevaka al beneha ki enenu. Rachel cries for her children that are not there, that are not in their land. And the reason why they're not in their land, enenu, refers also that the fact that God himself has risen to a higher level, le'ela ule'ela, as it says in the Zohar. And through Rachel's efforts, which is representative of the efforts of all the Jewish people, reveal the fact that Golus is essentially a very high, very sublime level, and just these levels have risen upwards and left us down below in a state of darkness in Golus. But when you bring those lights down here below, you get rid of the Golus and we have the Geula. All this is connected also to the sphere of this Shabbos, the Rebbe says, which was Malchus Shabbat Teferis, the last attribute of within Teferis. In general, Sfiras HaOmer, counting of the Omer, is intended to refine the soul of a person. And it contains all of what we have to do in order to bring the Geula. And we see this, how it has an influence on the soul of a person. As we say in the Sfiras HaOmer, in the prayer that we say after we counted, that this process is intended, L'sakein, Esnafshesenu, V'ruchesenu, V'nishmesenu, Ulatarenu Lukachenu, it's to correct our souls, our spirits, and our neshamas, and to purify us and sanctify us. And also has an effect on the world in general, as we say in that prayer, Vayideze Yishba Sheferav Bechal Ha'ilamas. Through this, there will be a flow of abundance of spiritual energy in all of the worlds. And it also indicates that this brings the eternal redemption, as we mention in the prayer associated with the counting of the Omer, Harachman hu yachzulanu avedus beis hamigdash, amen sela. The merciful one will restore to us the service in the beis hamigdash, amen sela. So we have the emphasis on how we purify ourselves and how we affect the whole world. Now, the year that the Rebbe said this talk, in which the counting of the Omer began on Mitzray Shabbos, Saturday night, so that each week of Sfira ends with Shabbos. And since today, the day the Rebbe said this talk, is the last day of the week, it's Shabbos, it corresponds to the attribute of Malchus. So this Shabbos, which symbolizes Geula, because Geula is referred to as the day that is entirely Shabbos, the entire period of Geula is Shabbos, so we stress the attribute of Malchus, the kingship of Mashiach. And the kingship of Mashiach has some very strong energy associated with this. As our sages said, that when Mashiach will give a command, Nothing could stand in the way of his command. Even a mountain will be uprooted if it stands in the way of his command. So fundamentally, it's not possible that anyone could stop the king, because the whole country depends on the king's edicts. And the same thing is true with the Malchus of Mashiach. Even when there's Golos that seems to disturb and cause an impediment to Mashiach and opposes him, in truth is, it can't possibly get in the way of Geula. Whatever impediments there are in Golos, that's only external. In order to remove those external impediments, you have to reveal that Golos, as we just said before, actually expresses the highest spiritual energy, the level of Malchus. Now, there are many ways you can reveal Malchus in this world. The Malchus of God through the Malchus of Mashiach. You can do it with Malchus Shebechesed. It could be through Chesed, it could be through Gvur, it could be through Teferis, it could be through Netzach, through Haid, through Yesod, and through Malchus. But according to Rebbe, that we quoted from Pirkei Avos, the way to bring Mashiach is through Teferis. So that's exactly what this Shabbos represents. Teferis, Malchus Shebe Teferis, Malchus within Teferis. And since Teferis is the Derech Yishara to bring the Geula, as Rebbe said, it's self-understood that you don't have to wait for the next week Shabbos and the subsequent Shabboses. This Shabbos itself, we have the victory of Mashiach over Golos, Malchus Shebenetzach. We see the glory of Mashiach, Malchus Shebehaid, and we also have Malchus Shebeyesod, the fundamental and eternal Malchus, and also we have Malchus of Malchus, the Malchus of Mashiach that will be revealed to the whole world. Because we have Teferis Shebemalchus, the Torah, that's the straightforward path to bringing the ultimate Malchus. What is the practical application of all this, of Malchus Shebeteferis? Since we're talking about the last efforts that we're doing to bring Mashiach, and in order to do that, we need the effort made by every Jew to bring Mashiach. Because it's not enough to have Malchus, that's Mashiach's work. We have to have Malchus as it's in Torah, Teferis. And it's the power of Torah that creates the vessels for this Malchus, to this exalted spiritual light of Geula and Mashiach. In simple words, the Rebbe says, Teferis expresses the idea that Mashiach and Geula is connected to Torah. You could learn this about Mashiach and Geula in Tanakh, especially in the words of the prophets that talk about Mashiach in great detail about Mashiach and redemption. You could also study the Gemara, especially the last chapter of Sanhedrin and the end of the Tractate of Sota, the Midrashim, Zohar, Chassidus, also in the teachings of the leaders of Chabad, especially the Maimarim, the discourses, and the work Likut HaSichus of the leader of our generation. All this becomes the preparation and the sample to what Mashiach will be teaching the time of Geula. And just by increasing the learning of Torah about Mashiach and Geula, that will bring the Geula. Who has to do this learning, the Rebbe asks? Every single individual, the greatest scholars, business people, they all have to increase in the learning of Torah, and especially the subject of Mashiach and Geula. And it would be also a good idea, the Rebbe says, that it should be not just individuals learning, but 10 Jews learning together. Because when you learn about Mashiach in a communal setting, it adds in the simcha and in the longing for the coming of Mashiach. In addition to the fact that it says that when 10 people sit and study Torah, the Shekhinah dwells amongst them. We also have to increase in the observance of mitzvahs with beauty and excellence, especially the mitzvah of tzedakah, and we should connect the giving of tzedakah to the learning of Mashiach and Geula by giving tzedakah with the express intention that you're hastening the redemption, that you're learning what our rebbes, our teachers say, G'dayla tzedakah shemekarebes es ha-geula, that tzedakah is great, that it hastens the redemption. Now the main thing, the Rebbe concludes, is this should all bring Mashiach imminently. And this Shabbos, we should see the birth and the revelation of a righteous Mashiach, and the whole world should be able to announce, Hine zeh melech ha-Mashiach ba, behold, the King Mashiach has already come, and all the tzaddikim will arise from their dust, and that should be immediately. And together with all of the Jewish people, we will all come on the clouds, be transported to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Holy of Holies, as expressed in the Parsha of Achrimos, how Aaron will enter into the Holy of Holies. The only difference is that in the time of Geula, all of the Jewish people, the Rebbe says, will be able to enter into the Holy of Holies at any time. The essential thing, Ha'ikar, that this should be an actuality, mamash, really, and every one of us should be able to thank Hashem and bless Him for the birth and the revelation of Mashiach, as we say in the words of the blessing, Shechayana v'kimana v'higayana l'zman hazeh. Following is a summary of the synopsis. The Rebbe explains that the whole idea of tzaras, the skin disease called tzaras, symbolizes golos, exile. The purification of the mitzora, the person who's afflicted with this skin disease, represents and symbolizes geula, redemption. Because in essence, tzaras, this skin disease, was a manifestation of very high level, exalted, sublime light, spiritual energy, so powerful that the vessels, the instruments, could not contain them. And therefore, it gives room for the klipas, for the unsavory forces, for the negative forces in this world to get nurtured by them. And that's where the tzaras, the skin disease, emerges. How does one deal with this problem? When a person experiences a state of bittul, of self-abnegation, he could reach a level that transcends the light and vessel relationship. And that has happened through the study of Torah. When a person studies Torah with self-abnegation, then he is capable of unifying the energy, which is associated with the idea of ratzo, of advancing forward, going higher, passionately trying to connect to something that is higher, together with the vessels, which represent shov, the retreat, coming back into this world. So the Torah, when it's studied with bittul, has the power to synthesize the two. That is the way we understand tzaras. But then the Rebbe goes on to say the same thing is true with golos and geula. Golos, which is a state of concealment, is only an external phenomenon. And where does it come from? It comes from the fact that there are some very powerful energies that cannot be contained in vessels, and therefore it emerges in a state of concealment, because it can't be received and absorbed and internalized. How does one deal with this issue? What is the solution to this problem? Is to reveal its true source of golus, that golus is essentially a very high and sublime experience. And through our efforts, when we study Torah in the time of golus, and through Mesiras Nefesh, the self-sacrifice in the time of golus, we have the ability to give expression to these very sublime energy. And that's all hinted in the parshas of Tzri and Metzora, and also in the parshas of Achri and Kedoshim, in Pirkei Avos, in the fact that this is the month of Iyar, and the Sfira that we counted, Malchus Shebet Teferes. And the Rebbe at length explained how all of those features point to this understanding of Golus, of bringing, revealing the high energy of Golus, and making this energy part and parcel of our experience. From this we can understand that what is the straightforward way to bring the revelation of Mashiach? We have to have the power of synthesis to bring the light into the vessels. That's through the study of Torah, which is associated with the attribute of Teferis. That has the power to unify the light with the vessels. And that's especially the case with Malchus Shebet Teferis, because Malchus Shebet Teferis, Teferis is Torah, and Malchus refers to Mashiach. So when you learn the parts of Torah that deal with Mashiach and redemption, that is the force that enables us to reveal the source of Golos and to bring Geula. Since the deed is the essential thing, the Rebbe gives us four instructions that we should publicize wherever we can, that the importance of learning Torah, especially the subject of Mashiach and Geula, especially in Pnimiyas HaTorah, in the inner dimension of Torah, which is Chassidus, and especially the Torah of Lekut HaSichas of Nasi Dareinu, Lekut HaSichas of the leader of our generation. Number two, it would be even better if this learning would be with 10 people. It's a public study group. Number three, to increase in the observance of mitzvahs, especially the mitzvah of tzedakah. Number four, connecting. One should connect the tzedakah with Torah by giving tzedakah in a way that one's intention is to hasten the redemption. If few excerpts from this sicha. Rebbe says, I'm coming here for the practical application of all of the above, that everyone is going to publicize wherever they can in order to bring about the revelation and the coming of Mashiach imminently. And it's the obligation of each and every Jew, men, whether they are dwellers in the tents, Yisachar, they are Torah students, whether they are business people associated with Zvulun, likewise women and children, everyone according to their abilities to increase in the learning of Torah, especially the subject of Mashiach and Geula. And there's also a very special thing about learning about the subject of Mashiach and Geula in public, in terms of how it affects one's emotions and one's joy. And this will increase and enhance one's yearning and anticipation for the coming of Mashiach. And the Rebbe said, also, Mashiach is in this world, and he exists in the time and place of Golos, and in the state of Golos, because he's suffering the illness of Golos, and he's waiting and yearning with bated breath for the revelation of the Melech HaMashiach to reveal the Jewish people and the true and complete redemption, after which there is no more Golos, as the Rambam rules that a Mashiach is a leader who will arise from the house of David, and he will then finish the job of taking us out of Golos. Some excerpts from the book Besuras HaGeula. In recent times, the Rebbe says, we have spoken about and emphasized strongly the necessity for each and every Jew to do everything that depends on him to actually bring a righteous Mashiach immediately. Since in these days, with the conclusion of the month of Nisan of the year, it will be a year in which I will show him wonders. All the appointed times have passed. The end of Yamim days and the end of Yamin days, in the simplest sense, certainly a righteous Mashiach will come immediately, and then each and everyone will point with his finger and say, here, he, King Mashiach, has come. This means that actually he has already come in the moment before this one, for the past tense is used. And the Rebbe then says, Mashiach is found in the world in the time and place of exile, and in the situation of exile, for he bears the afflictions of the exile. As the Gemara states, Rav said, if he is from the living, he is like our holy Rebbe, Yehuda Hanasi. And then it states, if Mashiach is from those that are living now, he is certainly our holy Rebbe, who bears the afflictions and is a complete chassid. And he waits impatiently and longingly to reveal himself from the concealment of the time and situation of exile. For the King Mashiach redeems Israel with a complete and true redemption, after which there will be no more exile. According to the halachic ruling of Rambam, who says, if arises a king from the house of David, etc. And there, at the beginning of the discussion, the school of Rabbi Shiloh said, Shiloh is his name, the name of Mashiach, as it is written, until Shiloh comes. The school of Rabbi Yannai said, Yinan is his name, similar to Yannai. Thus each one explained the name of Mashiach after his name. As it is written, may his name endure forever, as long as the sun, may his name be perpetuated, Yinun. The school of Rabbi Hanina said, Hanina is his name, as it is written, I will show you no favor. Others say, Menachem ben Chizkiyahu is his name, as it is written, for far from me is a comforter to revive my spirit. So these are all rabbis of the Talmud saying that their Rebbe, their teacher, was Mashiach. And we Chassidim, the Rebbe says, follow their example. In regard to our Rebbeim, our leaders, in particular my sainted father-in-law, the leader of our generation, Yosef is his name, as it is written, the Lord will continue, Yosef, to apply his hand a second time, etc. And he shall gather the lost of Israel, etc. And Yitzchak is his name, as is written, then our mouths will be filled with laughter, schok. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said, which is the straightforward path that a man should choose for himself? That which is honorable to himself and brings honor for man. This can be explained in light of what was previously said regarding the revelation and coming of Mashiach. Rabbi said, which is the straightforward path that a man should choose for himself? The man refers to this man, who is at a high level, complete in everything, when his actions are proper and all things corrected. Only the residue hasn't yet been cleaned from the edge of his clothes, etc., because of the exile, as was the case with Rebbe. In our generation, the last generation of exile, the footsteps of Mashiach, when we have concluded and completed all aspects of the service we had to do during the time of exile, it can be said that every Jew is at this level, at the level of Rebbe. The question is, since we've already completed our actions and service throughout the duration of exile, what is the straightforward path? The easiest and fastest among all the paths of Torah that all the Jewish people who have concluded their service should choose to realize the revelation and coming of Mashiach. And the explanation of the straightforward path to reveal and bring Mashiach through Malchus Shebetiferes can be understood in practical terms. As a preface, since a righteous Mashiach is ready to come immediately, but he hasn't actually come, therefore the final effort required, represented by the edge of his clothes, of every Jew to bring Mashiach must be not through kingship in its purity, the concern of King Mashiach himself, but through Malchus Shebetiferes. That means the subject of Mashiach, which is kingship, Malchus, as it is found in Tiferes, which is Torah and harmony. Simply put, Tiferes refers to learning Torah. Malchus Shebetiferes refers to learning the Torah concerning King Mashiach and redemption that are explained in many places. These places include the written Torah, particularly the words of the prophets, for all their books are filled with this matter, the Rambam says. It includes the oral Torah in the Gemara, especially tractate Sanhedrin at the end of the tractate of Sanhedrin and at the end of the tractate of Sota, and in Midrashim, and especially in the inner teachings of Torah, beginning with the Zohar, about which it says, with this book of yours, the book of the Zohar, they will leave their exile in mercy. And it's through Torah's Chasidus, through the spreading of the wellsprings outward, then the Master King Mashiach will come, as Mashiach himself told the Baal Shem Tov. It includes the Torah of our Rebbeim, our leaders, and principally in the Torah and the Maimarim and Lakut HaSichas of the leader of our generation. Learning this material is a sample of and preparation for learning the Torah of Mashiach. For a new Torah shall go forth from me, meaning he will teach to all the people the inner teachings of the Torah, the reasons of the Torah, and the knowledge of godliness. Know the God of your fathers. This accords with the halachic ruling of the Rambam, that in that time the Jews will be great sages and know hidden matters, attaining knowledge of their Creator, etc. This increase in learning the Torah concerned with Mashiach and redemption, Malchus Shebetiferes, is the straightforward path to actually cause the revelation and coming of Mashiach and redemption. My intention here is action, and certainly the following will be publicized everywhere. In order to realize the immediate revelation and coming of Mashiach, each and every Jew, the men, whether they are dwellers in the tent of Yisachar or the men of business, Zvulun, the women, the children, each one according to his ability, should increase their learning of Torah, particularly the subject of Mashiach and redemption. It would even be better if they would learn in public with 10 others, because in addition to the advantage that 10 who sit and occupy themselves with Torah, says the divine presence dwells among them, in addition to that, there is a particular advantage when learning about Mashiach and redemption in public. Such public learning affects the excitement and the heartfelt joy through which comes an increased desire and increased anticipation for the coming of Mashiach. In addition, and this is obviously most essential, one should increase the quality of one's observance of mitzvahs. In particular, one should enhance one's fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzedakah, which is considered to be comprehensive of all the mitzvahs, with distinction, because as it says in the Talmud, it draws near the redemption. It is proper and correct to connect the increase in tzedakah with an increase in the Torah concerning Mashiach and redemption. How do we do that? By giving tzedakah with the intention to bring close and hasten the redemption. This intention itself constitutes learning Torah in matters of redemption. When one thinks of, from time to time, the saying of our sages, of blessed memory, great is tzedakah, for it brings near the redemption, that itself constitutes learning matters of Mashiach and redemption.